This is Jane McMillan. I am interviewing Howard Ives, who is the meat manager at Le Bon's. He's going to talk about his first jobs at Bicron, Le Bon's, some of the sports that he's played, and the Appalachian Trail. Today's date is January 25th, 2022. This is File 50, Cycle 4, and here we go. What is your name?
Howard Ives.
And when were you born?
April 28th, 1974.
Where?
Winsted.
What high school did you attend?
Housatonic Valley.
And I understand you were in sports.
I was.
And what did you play?
I did football, hockey,
ooh,
and track and field.
Oh, good. In football, what positions did you play?
I was a fullback, which is a running back,
yep,
and a linebacker on defense.
And hockey?
Hockey. I was a defensive player.
I'm assuming ice hockey?
Yes.
Okay. And track and field?
Track and field.
Mm.
Oh, I ran sprints, which are the 100 meter.
Yep.
I was in a 100 meter relay. I threw the javelin.
Oh, good.
I pole vaulted. I was almost like a utility.
Yeah, yeah.
Track person. Wherever the coach really needed me, throw me in there.
Oh, good. Did you break any records?
I did not.
That's all right.
No records.
That's all right. It's nice to have a utility player.
My 4x1 relay, we were Berkshire League champs that year.
Ooh, good. What year was that? Do you remember?
That would have been 93, my senior year.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely. Job opportunities. Where did you work first?
Froines Farm
was
my first job.
And dairy farm?
It's a dairy farm in East Canaan.
Okay. And you just did everything?
Not everything. I did, I fed calves, cleaned stalls, you know, just chores, kind of basic chores.
Did you do
clean the milk parlor?
Oh, now, did they milk by hand, or they did...
They had machines.
They had machines, and you did the milk parlor too. That's, to have to sterilize everything.
As, I worked there for probably 3 to 4 years, but at a really young age.
Oh, yeah.
As I did get older and tall enough to even see, I did drive equipment. I did things from harrowing fields to picking rocks in fields with, like, you know, equipment, forklifts, and stuff like that. Yeah, it was fun.
All around, and physical.
Physical, very physical.
Physical. And then you went to work at the Finest in Canaan?
I worked in the Finest in Canaan, which is now Stop and Shop.
Yeah. Now, was it in the same location as the Stop and Shop today?
Same location, different building. When I worked there, it was a smaller building, which had been rebuilt.
Okay.
I worked in a meat department as a cleanup clerk, meat wrapper. That was pretty much it.
Okay. How many years were you there?
Maybe a year and a half.
Okay. And that's First National Stores?
First National.
Yeah. Okay. And you went to work at Bicron?
Then I worked at Bicron.
Now that is an electronics?
It's an electronics factory.
And...
I worked on an assembly line.
Do you know what you assembled?
I do not. Yeah, I couldn't tell you. They were these tiny little parts with a lot of wire wrapped around them. And it was just like
somebody
else did one part of it, and then it kind of came down a line, and you wrapped like a tape around this electrical cord type thing.
Not intellectually stimulating.
I'm sure it was. I mean, they got machinists there, which are full, like, you know, I'm trying to think of the word. But, I mean, you have to have an education. You have to have a degree.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
You know.
They would probably be computerized.
A lot. There was.
Yeah. It wasn't your thing, though, was it?
It wasn't. You know, I look at a job like that today with, like, the way things have come. It's probably a robot is doing that job these days compared to like someone, like a person.
How long did you work at Bicron?
Not that long.
A couple of years?
It was when I was in... So my early jobs always came around sports. When I had a job, mm-hmm. it was like in between sports. So like a lot of times they would change, you know.
Oh, sure.
Summer jobs.
Part-time.
Part-time.
Yeah. When did you come to Le Bon's?
In 93.
And you're still there?
I am still there.
You've worked your way up.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
So actually, I just passed, so it would have been January 23rd. This past Sunday would have been 29 years.
Oh my.
Yeah.
It's changed. Anything you do, I mean, even school teaching changes over the years. How were you trained?
In-house, by Le Bon's, butchers.
Were you sent to different stores?
I was. I was sent to one of our stores in Farmington to work under a meat manager there. I was sent to Watertown Le Bon's to work under a meat department there, meat manager.
Did they, and I know this is going to sound strange, but did they all do the same thing or did they have like specialties?
They have specialties. So our Farmington meat manager... was more of a high-end, kind of like what we do in a Salisbury store. They do a lot of prepared stuff, higher grade cuts. It's very similar to the way we do things in Salisbury. And our Watertown store would be it would be totally different, to where it's a bigger store. It falls in line as a Stop and Shop, kind of. They have big side cases, a lot of packaged meats, which they do all on hand. They mm-hmm. do it there. But, you know, thinner cuts of things. They have a different...
they have a different clientele.
Yeah. Which is... they have a huge Italian base down there.
Mm-hmm.
When a lot of the customers are like, I want to cut thin.
Yeah.
Thin as possible. When up here, everybody's like, cut it as thick as possible.
Thick. Yeah.
It's like night and day.
Oh, sure. The thing that interested me was that you went off to Iowa to a pig farm.
I toured Nyman Ranch pig farms, which are all like co-ops. They're small family farms.
Mm-hmm. In Iowa?
In Des Moines, Iowa. Which, actually, just outside of Des Moines.
I know.
Pig farms in Des Moines, but yes.
And you also went to New Bedford for seafood.
Seafood. We did a trip to New Bedford to go to what they call Fully Fish Fish School.
Oh, yeah. Now, you are the meat manager, but you also do seafood.
It would be meat/seafood manager.
Meat/seafood. Now, I was interested in the fact that you were telling me that there are different grades of meat. How is meat graded?
It's graded on the marbleization, which is going to be flavor and tenderness. So if you were to start on the lowest grade, which would be your probably least expensive, you have a select grade, which is very lean, has very little marble, which is fat, which is flavor and tenderness. And it goes up from a select grade to a choice grade. And then you could start throwing in different breeds, too. So you're going to be graded and different breeds. So you have certified Angus, you have just Angus, you have black Angus. The word Angus it doesn't really mean much, but when you use the word certified black Angus beef, like CAB, which is a symbol, which is a higher standard, but then they have different grades too. So you have a select, a choice, a prime. And most recently, American came out with what you call Wagyu, which is kind of
it's what?
A Wagyu.
How do you spell that one?
I do not know. But it's a spinoff. It's what you call American Kobe beef, which would be your highest grade.
Okay. All righty. When we talked before, I said my mother used to get a cut of meat. I finally remembered what it was. It's called Eye of the Round.
Okay.
It's a tenderloin. isn't it?
Not a tenderloin.
No, what is it?
It has the look of a tenderloin. Mm-hmm. So round meat is going to be lean. You have an eye of the round, bottom round, top round. They pretty much come from all the general same area. It would be hard for me to explain.
Oh, yeah, but that's all right. That's all right.
It does come from the rear end, which you would almost call like a hind quarter.
Yep.
Without having the pictures in front of us.
No, that's all right. That's
really
all right.
Too much. It's not a tenderloin. It kind of resembles in look of a tenderloin.
Yeah, but it isn't.
It is not the same
thing. Okay. I always wondered about that. Thank you. You answered a question that I've had for years. Now, as meat manager, seafood manager, how many employees do you have?
I have 7 at the moment.
And how do you allocate them by shifts? How many shifts do you have in a workday?
We have, on most days, 3 shifts. We have an early shift, which is 7 to 3:30. We have a midday shift, which is 10 to 6:30. Mm-hmm. And we have a closing shift, which is 12 to 8:30.
Ah, that's a long day.
So they're both, all those are right around 8-hour days.
It still is long.
Yes.
So do you have 2 people on a shift, or?
We try to have coverage for 2 people most of the day. The very end of the day,
it's not
so much. Yeah. Usually there's somebody. So from 7 to 10, there's usually 2 people. Mm-hmm. From 10 to, say, almost 6:30, sometimes there's at least 3, possibly 4, depending.
Because that's your busy time.
What day of the week it is.
Yep.
And then from 6:30 to 8:30, there's usually only 1.
It's
and once again, that could be situational, depending on what day of the week it is, if it's close to a holiday.
Oh, yeah.
Is there a snowstorm the next day and we're really busy?
Uh-huh.
We plan around things like that.
Okay, so it does make a difference to the day and the shift.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any employees that have been there as long as you have been?
Not as long, but I have somebody that's in September going to be getting his 15-year pin.
Ooh.
I want to say I have somebody else that's been there close to 10 years.
Then they're a good company to work for if they stay that long.
Yes.
That makes a difference, because if you have a lot of turnover, there's usually problems someplace.
This is true, yeah.
What is your goal as meat manager? Now, you talked to me about your display cases, which I thought was fascinating.
My goal is, everyday goal is to have a beautiful-looking meat case and seafood case, trying to offer probably the freshest, highest quality product that I possibly can.
And you also said you wanted something for everybody as far as price was concerned.
Well, I also try to offer a large variety. Not everyone's going to eat tenderloin every day. I mean, I can't afford it. I have meats in my case that are extremely expensive, but it's not a cut of meat that it's like, Monday, I want steak tonight. These are special occasions, birthdays, anniversaries.
Yeah.
That's what it's really designed for. But I also want to have a sirloin steak or a London broil for a family that doesn't make a lot of money. If they live in this town, if they don't live in this town.
Sure.
I get a lot of people that come to me from Canaan.
Uh-huh.
Canaan's not a wealthy town.
No, it isn't.
As much as I get people that come from Millerton, all over the place.
Yeah, well, they know the quality of the meat. And they know the Bell and Evans chickens, and I know people in Falls Village that will go to Laban's just for the chicken, So it does, you've created a go-to place for quality meats, quality seafood, which is quite unusual.
We try very hard to have something for everyone.
Mm-hmm. And now, you also said that you were a foodie. What do you mean by a foodie?
A foodie is someone that has a passion for food. I enjoy cooking. I kind of, most of the times I like entertaining. I spend a lot of time thinking about food-related things, how I can take an everyday recipe and maybe put a spin on it, a twist, not to make it my own, but just to maybe improve it.
Oh, good. Good. And I know that you really want your meat case and your seafood case to look, and I'm going to use the word appetizing, because it's the eye that makes you want something. You can't smell it because it's all wrapped.
Very true.
But, you know, it looks attractive, and things are not in a jumble. They're sorted out, and they're practically all of them are labeled up the wazoo so that you know what you're getting. And if you don't know what you're getting, you ask. And if you don't know how to cook something, you ask. And your men know how to do that?
Yes. And if they don't, they'll ask. And mm-hmm. We live in a time when you can Google almost anything. And I, even myself, mm-hmm. because there's no just one way to do something. So many different ways. So a lot of times I'll give somebody a basic idea, a couple different ideas. Mm-hmm. And then I love to throw out the, you know, feel free to Google it, because you could take what I'm saying and also something on the internet, and you could do your own thing. You can make it things even better if you put a little thought into it. Back to the, which I call presentation of mm-hmm. my meat case. I mean, the bottom line is, I tell my people all the time, we're salesmen. We're meat salesmen.
Yep.
We don't sell cars, we sell meat. And
it tastes a lot better than a car.
We put a lot of work into trying to keep it looking nice.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it looks nice almost all the time.
Oh, yeah.
It's not an easy task. It's like you need to be on top of it constantly.
Yep. It's like anything else. You have to know what you want and keep making sure that it's presentable the way you want it to be. Have you noticed any trends of meat and fish over the time? I mean, you were saying that in Waterbury they wanted thin, up here we want thick. Have you noticed any general trends, more people eating less red meat, that sort of thing?
No, but it seems like it's January right now, and so this is a common trend every year. Right after the first of the year, everybody starts, they want to eat healthier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you every year you find the trend. Everybody's going to go on a diet, they're
uh-huh.
going to eat less red meat, or they're more self-conscious of how much they're eating. Is it a leaner red meat compared to a fattier one? Seafood business usually starts to go up a little bit because fish is a healthier version. But we're always selling some kind of meat.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing against vegetables, but meat. Why would you ever want to stop eating meat?
Oh, I know. But now your comment about fish. Fish is expensive in the wintertime, isn't it not?
Fish is always expensive. Good fish is always going to be expensive.
Yeah. And, of course, we're so far inland.
And what you really have to... We're so far inland. There's two markets that people deal with, and one is Boston, one is New York. We're lucky enough to be in between both. We do have that going for us, but we're also 3 hours roughly away from both of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we live far enough from the shore to where you're 2 hours away from anybody dropping off fish every day.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, we get fish 6 days a week, which is phenomenal.
It is. In this area? Oh,
yeah.
What do you like about your job?
The people.
Good. That's the best part.
It can be.
Yeah, well, I've worked with the public. There can be off days for everybody. But the thing that I like, and this is personal, but I go in early. So I know the two men that work for you, and they're always pleasant. They always are helpful. If I have a question, or if I ask for a half a pound and they're a little under or a little over, that, you know, I cut it a little this, a little that, is it okay? You know, they're very, very honest. They're wonderful as far as I'm concerned. They're good salesmen of their product.
Well, I'd like to hear that.
Well, I think you should. I'm going to switch gears now to winter sports. What do you do for winter sports?
I snowboard.
Yep.
I grew up skiing, and I switched over to snowboarding probably 25 years ago.
Did you do downhill or cross-country skiing?
Downhill.
Oh. Did you ever use the ski jump?
I have not.
Good. That scares me. Now, the reason I wanted to get into the winter sports is because of Swasa.
Yes.
And you create something, foodie, you create something special for Swasa.
So, probably 4 years ago, we created, we call it the Salisbury Spicy Brat, which is a bratwurst with just a little bit of spice to it, which is unique to just Salisbury. I'm not saying nobody else could make it, but it's pretty much a little bit of bratwurst, a little bit of hot sausage combined together. When it's cold out, you kind of, a little heat works.
Yeah.
We make it once a year for the ski jump.
Will you be doing it this year?
We will be.
Oh, good.
They've just recently ordered 200 pounds of it.
Wow. Yeah. And you started off with what, 2 or 3 pounds?
We started out with like 25, 35, I think, the first year. And that just, they sold out like within hours the first time they put it on a menu.
Doesn't that please you?
It does. It really does. And it's grown to now 200
That's
pounds,
wonderful.
Which is really impressive.
That's wonderful. You also hike, don't you, during the summer?
Yeah.
Tell me about the Appalachian Trail.
I have a passion for hiking, which pretty much started just taking my dog for walks. And we live here in Salisbury, the Appalachian Trail, which starts in Georgia, ends in Maine, goes right through our town. So I can catch the Appalachian Trail from walking from my house.
Oh, good for you.
And I could head south, or I could head north, and I could make a day out. I could do it for a couple hours. I could make a day out of it, several days, a week. Last year, I did the whole Connecticut section of the Appalachian Trail from pretty much Gaylordsville back here to Salisbury, which is roughly 58, maybe 62 miles. Mm-hmm. This past year, I did the whole Massachusetts section from basically the Vermont-Mass border all the way back home to Salisbury, which is roughly 115 miles. Took me 6.5 days.
Do you stop or do you bring your own food and camp?
Both of those trips I've taken, I've carried a full supply. If I was to go much longer than, say, 6-7 days, mm-hmm. I would have to resupply.
Yeah.
Which a lot of hikers do it two ways. They'll schedule it in small towns. You go through towns, just like the town of Salisbury.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have to, like when I did the Massachusetts section, I had gone through the town of Dalton, Mass.
Yeah, I know Dalton.
And you walk probably 2 miles down the sidewalk through the town of Dalton, and then off to the, you know, suburb, into the woods.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people will resupply or they send packages, care packages to themselves to pick up at local post office.
Oh, okay.
So there's definitely, you do have to put a little bit of thought into it.
Okay. Before we close, is there anything that you'd like to add that we haven't talked about?
Just the fact that I've worked at Laban's for going on 29 years now. And how fortunate I am to see my customers grow up in front of me, like families. It's been such a pleasure to see. And on the other hand, sometimes when I lose people, it could be saddening. But I've really enjoyed it. And it's almost what helps me get up in the morning and go to work.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
I definitely I have a passion for what I do.
Thank you.
You're welcome.